Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, the Commander-in-Chief, Mark Misaka, the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center, is with us today on our Straight Talk broadcast, and he's got a few things on his list that I'm going to go through. I sincerely appreciate you taking time, because I know you got a lot on your plate. Getting you here is always a challenge, and for you to take a half hour out and be with us today, well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Manning. You know, I always love being with you and your listeners. I would say viewers, but that would just be you and me viewing each other, but everyone else is a listener. So thank you all for inviting us over and taking time.
So you've been in this position, is it 3 years now?
Almost three years.
Yeah. You have a very interesting background. You've not only a hospital administrator, but if I remember right, you're a registered nurse, and you're also an attorney.
Right. Is there anything you don't know, Manny?
You're an LSU fan.
Oh, now we've gotten to the good part.
Yeah, and I had to eat crow last time we did this. Yeah. We were opening up the new Gold Hill ER.
No, you don't have to eat crow. We said let the best team win. That's what we said.
And you were all decked out in your LSU colors. And I was trying to defend the good old Clemson Tigers.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have two Tigers. And we kept calling each other's team the Kitty Cats.
But the only thing we had in common was purple. Purple and some kind of orange and purple and gold. So we had purple in common.
So I know you're a diehard LSU fan.
I am.
And I got to ask you this question.
Yes.
The word is that LSU is going to open up their entire stadium to 80,000 fans, and the only requirement is that they have a face mask.
Right.
Would you find that unusual?
I appreciate the question. I like the way you phrased that. Coming as a native of Louisiana, would I find that unusual?
No.
I would not. I'm not saying I would agree with it, but I'm saying I would not find it unusual.
Yeah.
The health habits of people in Louisiana aren't always what we need them to be.
I see.
Yeah, right?
And if we think we love football here in South Carolina, they love it just as much
just
in Louisiana.
Just as much.
All right. So here we are in the midst of the pandemic. Last time you were on, you did an excellent job detailing all the things at Piedmont Medical Center have been doing to take care of this. So why don't we update that where
sure.
you are now?
Sure.
Because at the time, you all, like a lot of other hospitals, had to stop basically elective surgeries because of preparations of the pandemic and people not coming in who are sick, da-da-da. So bring me up to speed as to where we are.
So thank you, Manning. Look, I would start off by saying healthcare has always been complicated. Right? I mean, we don't let just anybody prescribe medications and do surgery. You know, we expect people to go to school for decades. We call them doctors. I mean, there's a reason why we require all of the credentials and the safeguards is because healthcare is complicated and frankly, at times dangerous, you know, if not done correctly. And so it's not gotten any simpler since the last time we talked. If anything, it's gotten more complicated because of COVID and all of the things that we now do and what we've learned to make it safer for people. And hopefully to get people to be healthier and to get them through any, you know, crisis that they're in and help protect the public from getting sick. So healthcare delivery has gotten more complicated, not simpler, you know, over the last 5 months, right? What in that would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not on Palmetto Mornings early in the morning And we're talking about these video clips from the night before,
right,
of large gatherings, family gatherings, young people getting together by the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like party weekend at LSU before a pandemic.
Keep going.
Well,
keep going.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, but just the mere fact that we have to keep going back to LSU.
Or make it Clemson.
Make it Clemson.
But, I mean, in all honesty,
yeah,
you just have people who just seem to be oblivious to what's going on around them and feel like they have no role. And one thing that's becoming very clear is that this virus, it don't care how old you are or what your sex is or what your race is. It's after everybody.
Right.
True?
Right. True. So look, let's divide up, you know, the topic you just raised with, you know, when we see people on TV or in groups or just in our social lives, you know, what do we think? Let's divide that into two categories. And one is going to be the correct analysis about, you know, and inferences on what will cause us to be safe. And the other is what I call COVID crazy. Okay?
Yep.
So let's deal with the COVID crazy first.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah.
What we've seen in the last 5 months is just shocking in terms of bad behavior by people. And by that, I mean we've seen an increased incidence of traumas. People were supposed to be isolated in their homes. We've seen increased shootings, increased stabbings, increased abuse, increased suicides. People have gone crazy. And now it's understandable, right? We told them to isolate. We're social beings, and we told them to isolate. And people that are very balanced and mentally healthy and have those disciplines in their lives can, you know, function fairly well. But people that in our society that we all know aren't maybe as mentally healthy or mentally as strong put themselves in positions that are high risk and make them a danger to themselves and others. And then people do just rude, obnoxious things to each other during this period. So that's COVID crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Now, sure.
But let's go back to, what's COVID smart?
Right.
Let's talk about COVID smart. And by that I mean, what can we do to analyze our behaviors and educate people about what's going to be healthier for them and what's going to be safer for each other? So when you look at these gatherings where people aren't social distancing, you have to ask the question, are they going to infect each other? Are they going to infect themselves? Right? And so what we do know is this. We got very serious in terms of safety in the community about 3 weeks ago, right? When we had the initial phase of infection rates, we thought we were going to have our peak back around March, April in South Carolina. It didn't quite happen. We had a mini peak. We opened up the state again, and after we opened it up, then we now have experienced a second peak.
Right.
I'm pleased to say that what we're seeing is that second peak is starting to moderate. We're not seeing the same high volume that we were seeing, you know, a couple weeks ago. And so I think the social distancing, the masking, the hand washing is having its intended effect. We're helping each other to stay safer. Think about it this way. We tell people if they're sick, you've got to go quarantine for 2 weeks. You've got to go... I mean, the new rule is 10 days plus 1 day fever free, whichever is longer. But that's what CDC put out. But let's just call it 2 weeks. If we isolate for 2 weeks, we think the disease runs its course and we're not infectious anymore. By getting all of our community to wear masks like we did and to social distancing for the last couple of weeks, we've reduced the infection rate. We've helped to prevent our neighbors from maybe getting it. We've helped to reduce people that were susceptible from getting it. So we're starting to see the incidence rate in different communities start to go down a bit. So masks are not perfect. They're not the be-all and end-all. But they do help to guard against some of the transmission. So let's do things let's do the list of things that each one of them helps some. And in total, we're now seeing the incidence rate in our community start to moderate a bit, and hopefully will continue to go down. So I'm happy about that. I'm not happy about the people that are getting sick and are still sick, but I'm happy about the fact that not as many people are now coming to the hospital as maybe what we were seeing a couple weeks ago.
You know, we're sitting right across the street from Winthrop University.
Yep.
And they're about ready to get back into business. And I don't totally understand their plan, but students are coming back on campus.
Right.
They're young adults. Mm-hmm. And we can all remember what we were like when we were 18 or 20 years old. We're invincible. We're never going to get sick, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But you would hope that they would be getting the message that that's not the case with this virus. I mean, right. it has hurt a lot of people.
Right.
A lot of people.
Right, right. So, and look, I mean, we know, apart from COVID, that young people are risk takers.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
It's in every generation, these young people put themselves at higher risk. And so the modern generation, there's nothing different about them in that regard. So they are putting themselves, you know, let's generalize and say they're putting themselves at risk for catching COVID based on just some of their social behaviors, right? What can we do to help them? I was gratified that the president of
Winthrop
called me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, here's our plans. We'd like to, you know, just run some stuff by you and get some input from you as we think about how do we keep our students safe. So, you know, as CEO of the hospital, I was, you know, appreciative of the phone call. I appreciated the opportunity to network with them and to help them maybe refine their plans a bit so they could try to keep all of their students safe. Because, you know, look, it helps all of us in this community when Winthrop is active and vibrant and busy.
Oh, sure.
So I was gratified how, you know, how the depth of planning that they had gone through, and I was able, hopefully, to make some contributions to their plans.
So back to Piedmont Medical Center.
Yep.
You all are in good shape with the PPEs as far as
good shape with PPE.
All right.
Yep.
You're back doing elective surgeries?
We are.
All right. And the hospital is not, I mean, the ICU, I mean, we hear these reports from all across the country. And I would be the first to admit that the national media doesn't usually tell the whole story.
Right.
But let's take what they are saying and localize it to where you are.
Sure.
Your ICUs are okay? I mean, you're not overwhelmed?
Some days. Yeah. Look, healthcare has always been a challenge of having the right number of people, the right resources at the right time.
Right.
And we're not able to tell the public, look, you can only come to the hospital between 2 and 4 p.m. They come at all hours of the day and night. But here's what we do know. We've got many experts, both physicians, nurses, who are on duty 24 hours a day, you know, around the clock, different
right.
shifts.
Sure.
And so when we hit our capacity, what we do is we call out to other departments, other doctors, and we call in friends, if you will, coworkers. And then we marshal resources and devote it to there. Look, I think that it is still a very serious topic that we continue to practice the COVID prevention techniques so that we have enough capacity in the hospital to treat everybody when they need care. Let's go back to what you and I have talked about on this show before, and that is we're operating within our capacity, but I could envision a day when we might not. Mm-hmm. So let's help people to stay healthier so that we always are within our capacity. PPE, right? Some days we're challenged, but only because we plan days in advance, and that planning session might say, wait, if we don't get a supply in by the end of the week, we might have a problem. Right, so every day we're planning 7 days out or more.
Sure.
So, but we have enough PPE. We're testing the people that need to be tested, and we've got the staff that we need to appropriately care for people.
The other issue that you raised the last time you were on the program had to do, and I hear your commercials all the time, you and your ER director, saying that if you're sick, for God's sake, don't sit at home.
Right.
Because you're fearful of the virus. Because we've taken all these protective measures at Piedmont, and it's safe to come in and get treated. Sitting at home ain't going to make nothing better.
Right.
And we've seen the statistics nationwide. It's appalling.
Yeah.
I mean, so are you seeing any break in that?
Right, right. Look, I think as a society, we've gotten smarter about this, Manning. If you go back to the first, you know, let's go to divide it up. The first couple months, everybody was in shock. By months, we're talking March and April, right? Mm-hmm. And we were all just afraid for our futures and what was going to happen. And so anything elective got shut down. And we saved up our resources because we were waiting for this influx of COVID patients. Well, we got an influx, but it wasn't nearly as much as what we thought it was going to be. So then we went to the next phase where we said, wait, we can start to come out of our homes and start to be in public a bit more. And so then across the state, we opened up. What we learned is that all of those people who weren't getting care are at risk of serious complications by not getting care.
Right.
Now, I'm pleased to say that the public responded very appropriately. We now see lots of people coming to the emergency room. We now see people not staying at home and coming, getting evaluated, and getting care. We've got a tent outside the ER. If the volume is up, if we have a surge of patients, then we screen people at the door and we send a certain group of patients there. And so what we've always done is triage patients at the emergency room entrance. We've always done that. Now we just use more resources to do that with. Some days we don't need all of those resources because the volume goes down. Other days it goes up. So the important thing is we've learned how to have expansion capability so that we can better cope with what happens during this virus. Now, the scary thing is, you know, of all the people we test, you know, the people that we admit, maybe 10% have COVID.
Yeah.
We're seeing flu-like symptoms in this time of year, which we don't normally see, and all those people are sick. So rather than be at home and be at risk, they're getting admitted, they're coming in, they're getting that acute, for just a few days, that acute care they need. And so those people aren't at risk of dying at home. And so the work that your radio station did and others in this community of educating people about don't delay your care, trust that we're going to try to keep you safe, we're going to keep our workers safe, has paid off. Now, to your point about elective surgeries, turned it back on, right? Because what surgery is elective? Just think about that for a minute. What surgery is elective, right? If you're going to let somebody cut you open to do something to your body, I don't think it's elective. I think you have some condition that warrants allowing somebody to cut you open. So in that regard, electives are terms that we throw about because we're trying to decide who's the sickest and who can wait a little longer. But I don't know of surgeries, you know, maybe plastic, maybe cosmetic surgery, you know, could be elective. But everything else is for some medical condition that we need, that you and we need to intervene upon. So with that said, what we've done is we've gone to a model where every day we look at resources that we have and the amount of people that are coming. Some days we may postpone your surgery because we say it's not emergent. It was a scheduled procedure, and we've got a onslaught of patients in the ER that day that we need to give a higher priority to in terms of giving a bed. So we may say to not say you, you know, I mean the public, the patient, we may say your surgery, it would be safe for you to be delayed 2 days. So we're going to postpone you to today and do your surgery 2 days from now.
Sure.
Because now on the schedule we have less on that day. That doesn't happen every day, but that's what we've learned in the COVID period is how to better use our resources to ensure that everybody's safe.
Sure. And I tell you what, when the elective surgeries were shut down initially across the country,
right?
What a domino effect that had.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, all the people that staff these operating rooms, the nurses,
right.
The doctors, the surgeons.
Yeah.
I mean, they all were just Got nothing to do.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. You're going to hear the voices of LSU and Clemson telling you how it's done at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Comporium Medical Alert.
It was important that my siblings and I recognized that Dad wanted to be independent, but we also wanted to be able to make sure that he was okay. So we started researching medical alert systems. Then we found this system. It's a little button that he can wear around his neck as a pendant or on his belt. He speaks directly into it, just like he's talking on a cordless phone.
But my kids and grandkids are the most important thing in the world to me. I don't like to ask for help, but it is nice to know that if I ever need it, it's just a touch of a button away.
For complete details, go online to comporiumalert.com.
Need extra cash? Relax. Founders has personal loans for all needs. Whether you're knocking off items from your quarantine home renovation list or consolidating existing debt, there's a loan for you. Our flexible loan options offer low rates to give you the confidence you need. Visit Relax, join Founders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across Winthrop with Mark Tosaka. He is the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center. We've been talking all about, everything involving the virus and how Piedmont has dealt with it, which is a very interesting story. And if you missed that part of the interview, go back and listen to it on WRHI.com. All right. I always ask you this question. I'm hoping the answer is going to be a little bit different. For, 13, 14 years, maybe it's 15 years. I can't even remember back how far ago this started. Piedmont Medical Center has been wanting to build a brand new hospital in Fort Mill. We won't go into all the long legal hassles, but the bottom line is you've got the green light to go ahead, and the dirt is sitting right there at the intersection of Highway 21 and 160, and right behind where they're selling strawberries and corn and what have you. I noticed on my way back from walking around Lake Hegler at the Anne Springs Close Greenway on Sunday, that there was actually looked like some earth being moved. And I said, something's not right here because I haven't heard anything about this. So, with the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center here, I ask you, where are we as far as getting this project started?
Don't Manny, give me the same Manny, answer. We've never been closer. We've never been closer. Okay. I mean, just think of all the advancements we've made. We've never been closer.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. And look, as far as, you know, I'm concerned, it can't happen fast enough. It just can't. I mean, so, but because of just how complicated it is to build a hospital, you just don't build them every day. It's a complicated process. And so we continue to move forward together on building the new hospital. And although you can't see all the work we're doing behind the scenes, we continue to do architectural planning, working with contractors, working with approvals, and the process is moving forward. Now, it did get slowed down for several months because of COVID. What didn't?
Yeah.
But I think for your listeners, I mean, we continue to move forward on it. So give us a hiatus of 3 or 4 months that we've gone through. But now that we're getting better at managing, we've turned our interest back to moving that project forward, and we are. Now, I did get a call the other day from the city wanting to know if we started doing site work. Well, we did not, but our good friends over at the Springs Farms did us all a favor and went over and did some, just cleaning up the site because there were, you know, all the old peach trees that, you know, weren't bearing any fruit. And so they went over and we essentially cleared away all the debris.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to plant seed for hay, but, you know, it's probably in the few months before we start actually doing site work, planting, letting the hay grow up would just help with the runoff, help prevent runoff.
Yeah.
So it seems like a waste of seed, but on the other hand, it'll help with preventing some of the runoff. So we need to do it.
I can't imagine all the changes since this project was originally envisioned. Just look at the growth around you, which was not there when this project, the land was acquired.
Right.
Take a look at how the whole hospital industry has changed over this period of time. And what new things you've all learned as this pandemic in terms of how the hospitals should function. So all that has got to be built into this thing.
Right. Correct. Correct. And look, here's what I'd say. Staff safety, patient safety have always been a priority. But now we've taken it to that next level of you know, we commonly call it PPE, but what we're really talking about is the safety of everybody involved in a hospital, patients and staff. And so we've had to get more stringent, and we've learned things about, you know, how to do it better. Now, one of the things I'm concerned about is the flu season, right? That's coming. That's around the corner in just a few months. Everything that we're doing today to prevent COVID is going to help to reduce the incidence of flu. In the past, we didn't, shut down society. We didn't tell everybody that to isolate because of the flu, epidemic, but... You know, COVID's a virus, the flu's a virus. Everything we're doing today, hand washing, social distancing, masks, are all going to help us to reduce the incidence of flu. So in every age, there's things that concern us, and then there's good things if you look for it. And the good thing is we're going to be better prepared.
We have 30 seconds left, and we can't talk about emerging technologies in 30 seconds. But suffice it to say, there's a lot of neat things going on at Piedmont Medical Center.
Right.
A ton of neat things.
Right. Can I go quick?
Quick. You got 25 seconds.
And next month, we're going to open our new interventional stroke program. Dr. G. Antasio is the medical director for interventional stroke. And essentially, it is putting a catheter into your brain to take blood clots out, just like we do in a heart.
Wow.
And so we should start doing the first procedure. The room's almost completed with the equipment, and we're looking forward to starting that next month.
Mark Dosaka, you are wonderful for coming in here today. I know you got a lot on your plate. We're going to do it again, right? We're going to make it.
And you're
going to make it. We're going to make it 3 for 5.
And you're wonderful to have me over, man.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, we do it here live at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. LSU and Clemson are going to do it one more time. How do we do it here? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.